Dia hoich, everybody, and welcome to today's News Tonight, the weeknight news show where we're joined by special guests and our lovely patrons to discuss the day's gaming news. I'm your host, Ash Paulson, and I'm joined today by my wonderful friends and GVG co-founders, Steve Bulling and Derek Bittner. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone. Nice.
Exactly.
Big thanks to, Chris Masterson, I think it is?
Yeah, Chris Masterson, I believe.
For the lesson in Irish.
Yes.
or Gaelic, I think it is.
I hope I did okay. I've been practicing my pronunciation of Dia Chuich, which is hello in Irish or Gaelic, I guess. So
yeah.
Hopefully I didn't completely ruin the pronunciation, but happy St. Patty's Day, everybody.
I love the green you're representing, Ash. I love the green that that Steve's representing. I was all right, it's St. Patty's Day. So I grabbed my green stuff that I could. I don't think I have a lot of green clothes.
You know, it was funny. I put this on just like normally in a normal day, I will get dressed in the morning and then right before TNT, I'll just change so I feel like fresh. But I was like, I'm already wearing a green shirt and I don't know how many others I have.
Nice.
I was like, I guess I'm just sticking with this. On Monday, when someone told me, oh, you better have your green lights on for Wednesday, I was so deeply confused by that statement. I was like, why is Xbox doing a thing?
Right. I don't think I have any green shirts either, which is why I'm glad I at least have a green beanie, because without that, I don't know if I'd have anything to, you know, kind of celebrate the day with. I gotta get on that.
I grew up in a particularly mean part of Southern California, and so I always had to have a green shirt at least, because I would get pinched the hell out of in school if I didn't have something green on.
See, that never
really?
Happened to me.
Yeah.
I never worried about it.
I got it bad from a lot of people. I mean, I was generally picked on in school, so maybe it was just a good excuse. But people were like, hey, you're not wearing green. And I would try to, you know, like find a loophole. I'd be like, oh, there's like maybe green on my socks. I don't know. No one ever fell for it. I had one lucky year where I remembered for whatever reason I had green underwear on. And I was like, look, pull my underwear up a little bit to show people. I'm like, I'm wearing green. I got in trouble.
Eat
with
my shorts, man.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was picked on a lot, too. But I was never remember ever being pinched for St. Patty's Day. So I don't know. I guess I got lucky on that one. Unfortunately, both Eduardo Tena and Andy Day are calling us out, Steve. They're asking where the beer is at. Unfortunately, we all three of us have had a pretty wild day on our ends. That's why we started a little bit late. It's just been really crazy for us as just a day in terms of work and family and stuff. So we didn't get a chance to get beer before the show.
But the crazy thing is, there's a lot of news that happened today and yesterday. Like, holy crap. We can't really spend too much on this reminiscing because
we don't even have cards.
We're just like blowing through these.
A record
yes, you'll notice that we don't have. Yeah, we you'll notice we don't have visuals for today's news stories because there are so many, and we were already running late. So we do apologize for that. However, of course, before we move on to the news, we do have a sponsor for today's episode, and that is the awesome Chip Damage Mike, who says, "Hi, my name is Mike, and I win all my fighting game matches via chip damage. I am also plagued by being interested in too many things: movies, comics, manga, anime, video games, toys, and all nerd culture have their hooks firmly embedded into my brain, and I just want to talk about it. Over on my channel, Chip Damage Mike, we look at rare, weird, and valuable games on all platforms, ranging from oddities like the Neo Geo Pocket to the big ones like the PS4. I'll also be going over toy releases from companies like First Four Figures, Figma, and Kotobukiya, as well as discussions on where to start on big franchises like Yakuza and Final Fantasy. I want this channel to be a positive force where enthusiasts and collectors come together over their shared love of nerd media and culture. So get hyped, and please click on over and subscribe to Chip Damage Mike on YouTube, and let's have some fun. In addition to that, he would like you to know that he just finished a video on the various weird limited editions that Square Enix has produced over the years, which is actually inspired by our recent guest, Blueberry, last week. So thank you for doing that. I definitely want to check that out myself, and I'm going to go ahead and pin a link to Chip Damage Mike's channel in the chat for you guys in the live audience.
It's really funny because, you know, Amy's been really far down the Final Fantasy 14 rabbit hole recently. And she was actually looking at some of the special editions of all the different releases of 14, because you can still buy the stuff that you got through them. She's like, ooh, I like that mount. Ooh, I like that minion. Like, if you want to get Fran from 12 as a minion, that nice. You had to get a special edition, that sort of yeah. thing. And that's, I saw one, I forget what it was. I think it was the second expansion. There's one of Bart's on Boko. Was it Boko? That's his chocobo, right?
Yeah. But Bart's a chocobo.
Him
Boko.
And his like chibi form, like his chibi form on his own little chocobo riding around behind you.
I
like,
love that.
That's awesome. I love that.
Never forget, it wasn't always Bart's. In those early fan translation, it was Butts.
Butts.
So I'll never forget.
Butts.
And Tina. Checking right now. And yes, exactly. Checking right now on Chip Damage Mike's YouTube channel, we've gotten them up to 218 subs, you guys.
Dang.
I am so proud of you guys. Our whole audience is so awesome. Yeah. So let's get them to 250. Let's just keep on driving that number up. And please. And if you're not in our live audience, we will, of course, have a link to Chip Damage Mike's YouTube channel in the description below. So please head on over there and subscribe. With that said, we have a lot of news to get through today. So let's go ahead and get on that. And our first story involves Rockstar, who has thanked a Grand Theft Auto Online player who improved the game's loading times by up to 70% themselves. This is a game that apparently has been plagued by really bad load times for quite a while now. And it took a fan fix that they have now made official and integrated into the game to fix it. And I'm not a tech guy very much, but on PC Gamer, essentially what they say happened here is that the slowdown was being caused by, quote-unquote, a single-thread CPU bottleneck while starting up GTA Online, a problem they estimated shouldn't take more than a day for a single dev to solve. But it actually took a lot longer than that. And but Rockstar was able to reach out to this fan who fixed it for them. Great.
And reading through this, they were awarded $10,000 through Rockstar's bug bounty program.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, that's
yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, that's typically reserved for discovering security or privacy issues in the games, but the studio decided to reward the bounty as an exception. And actually, that official patch is now live, and players are already reporting huge improvements. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I mean, $10,000 is cool. Like, obviously, who doesn't want $10,000? Yeah. But give this kid a job.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Right?
He single-handedly fixed your 7-year-old game in a day. Like,
this has apparently been an issue for 7 years now.
Yeah.
People have complained about this for a long time, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm on the developer's website, and they actually did a poll, asking people how widespread an issue this is. And 81.2% of their respondents said that loading times were anywhere from 3 to 6 minutes all the way up to 15 minutes plus.
Oof.
That's awful.
The best part about this is a lot of people assume that it's something like it's loading graphics or it's loading, game assets. It's literally loading a text list of items. And it was just so poorly optimized that it would hammer your computer to death while it was doing it.
So I
read the whole like technical breakdown and it's way above my level, like way, way, way above. But I know just enough to be like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I always assumed because I've played GTA Online a lot. And I really enjoy it. And I've definitely seen it take a really, really long time to load. And I just assumed that it was, loading players or connection issues to the server. You know, I never bothered to look into it. But to think that it's just a text-based list of all the items you can get in the game and that is what's killing it is so funny to me. Like, it's amazing that a company like Rockstar didn't find and hammer this down, and it took one person that was just really annoyed to figure it out.
Right.
I gotta wonder if it'll be the loot, because isn't this getting ported to Series X and PS5 as well?
Yep.
GTA Online, so like, shouldn't that make the load times even crazier when it comes to those systems? I'm sure that's like one reason GTA Online players would like, oh, thank God, it'll load even faster now.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Before this, that whole thing came out.
I've not played GTA Online in a number of years now, but I am excited to try it again when the next gen versions come out, whenever the hell that is.
I've never been a big GTA guy myself. I certainly respect the series immensely. I can see why people love it so much. It just never has really been my thing. And whenever I try to play GTA 5, and I was so overwhelmed by how much there was to do and all the ways in which you could do it that I really just ended up causing chaos and making no progress whatsoever in the actual game.
Fair enough.
And that's just kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I've never really been able to get down with GTA, but obviously it's just going to continue to become more and more popular. And
I've never beaten a GTA, honestly. I've not beaten a single GTA. The last one I actually played was, bought is San Andreas. I played a bit of my friend's GTA 4, but I got really sick of phone calls and just like, yeah, I'm done.
To be fair. Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
GTA 4 is regarded as one of the worst in the series by a lot of folks. Oof. At this point.
And that's what's funny is that that's the only one I've actually finished because I played it with my ex-best friend. And, we kind of played it together. And I felt the same way. Even though it's the only one I finished, I got so sick of those damn phone calls from Roman. What's his name? Is it Roman?
Nico, my brother.
It's Roman. It's Roman. Roman, I hated that guy, Nico. Man.
Yeah.
Nico was all right. He was cool. I didn't mind him. But God, if I didn't want him to throw away his damn phone.
Nico seemed too put together to be the psychopath that, you know, you could play him as in this. Like,
right.
He did not seem as crazy as the other protagonists up to that point.
If I can for a moment, because you guys know I love GTA 5. I will say that I think GTA 5 scratches that itch real nicely. You have like three different entirely believable protagonists. You have Michael, who is like somebody who made his money and got out of the game and now lives a completely boring ass unfulfilling life and just goes back to crime because he's fucking bored, and I think that's that's a really good motivation. And he does more like white collar stuff, you know, like he knocks over banks and stuff like that, but he doesn't like just wantonly murder people. And then you have Franklin, who's like a younger guy who lives kind of like in a shitty neighborhood and in squalor a little bit, you know, and is just trying to find a way to get out of his lot in life. And so he turns to crime to like make quick money. And then you have Trevor, who is just completely fucking insane. Like, he is the psychopath that that does the shit most people do when they play GTA. And they're all three like really well written, well balanced characters. So you can kind of switch between them and get three different viewpoints of the same type of gameplay. And I think it really adds something that GTA hasn't really had up to this point, because I think all the main characters in GTA games have by and large been the weakest part of the game. Like, it's the surrounding characters usually that make the game for me, but
I think Vice City might be the exception, but
Tommy Vercetti is
Vice City.
I will say it's funny to me that I've not been beaten a single GTA, but I've beaten both Saints Row 2 and 3.
Saints Row is way more fun than GTA.
I forget how I got a hold of Saints Row 2, but I played it and I'm like, this is fun. This is wacky and weird. I'm like, I'm just down for it. Plus, you can make your own Saints character. Row. So I made this like badass chick that was just going around, and it was funny to see how they acted. I just enjoy it more.
Are you telling me right now that you've finished Saints Row 3 but never picked up Saints Row 4?
I played a little bit of 4, but didn't get a chance to play it too much because I think I was well into the GX days at that point and had no extra time. Okay.
I was going to say, Saints Row 4, you have my account on your Switch at home. Download it. It is so fucking good.
Saints Row 4 takes Saints Row game.
Saints Row 3 and turns it up to 11. Like, it gets really weird.
That's what I've heard.
Nice.
I know 3 really caught my attention because they, you know, say what you will about Kanye West, but that when they had you break into that building while Power is playing, it's like, you know what? That's a good moment.
Yeah.
That'll stick with me for a while.
Yep. If I remember correctly, going back to Vice City for a second, wasn't Tommy Vercetti voiced by Ray Liotta?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
I
think Burt Reynolds was in Vice City as well.
Yeah, he was.
Like, they had big name talent for Vice City.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see them actually do remakes of the 3 trilogy. My God.
Give me a next gen remake of Vice City, like vaporwave 80s aesthetic music, like all that voice acting talent, just remaster their performances. I would buy that for $70, no problem.
I think it would be really interesting if GTA 6 or whatever the next GTA game is had a female protagonist. Or at least as one.
I think they're probably going to go that way. It feels.
I kind of hope they do because I think that's a very untapped, unexplored angle. I feel like there aren't a lot of games out there focused on, you know, the seedy criminal underworld underbelly where you play as a woman.
Not a focused one, because Saints Row, again, you can play as a woman, but it's just like,
but it's not
swapping it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like right. Just the same character no matter who you play as.
Saints Row right. has a narrative, but it's window dressing for the action, really.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of action and speaking of way past cool, let's go ahead and move on to our next story. And this is actually news that broke during our last episode at the very end of it, but we figured we'd officially talk about it today. Production on the Sonic 2 movie has officially kicked off, everybody, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I really enjoyed the first movie. We got Tails in this movie, which is all I wanted from the first movie that wasn't part of it.
We got Knuckles in there as well.
So and Knuckles now, too. So, yeah, I mean, we've already kind of talked about our excitement and hopes and expectations for Sonic 2, but it's just nice to know that it is officially in production now, and that we can start counting down the days to release.
Maybe get some production photos, some set photos, to see what actually comes of it all. Because I'm intrigued. They set some. The weird thing is they set things up very well for a sequel.
They really
in ways
did.
That you would not expect. Like from the plot synopsis we got before the original Sonic release, it's like, oh, that's gonna suck. But then you get the sequel set up, and you're like, you know what? Could kind of work. Plus, Jim Carrey is completely unhinged. Robotnik, yes, please, yes, please.
I cannot wait. I mean, I'm excited about every part of that movie, but I'm most excited to see what Jim Carrey does this time. You know, as the fully unhinged Dr. Eggman or Dr. Robotnik. Because in the first movie, he hasn't gotten to that point yet. To the way we see him in the games as much, and now we've got we all remember the end of the first Sonic movie and how just unhinged he was, and I can't wait to see a full movie of that. I'm
agreed.
So
I feel like Sonic 1 the movie kind of served less as Sonic's origin story and more as Eggman's origin story or
that's
Dr.
fair
Robotnik's.
That's
like
what you mean.
We watched him go from regular eccentric asshole to full-on weird ass Dr. Eggman, and to be clear, they nailed the look so well.
Oh,
like the bald crazy mustache, like goggles.
I mean, the fact that they were able to find a way to work in the whole why he starts calling him Eggman is impressive as well.
I love everything they've done, so I'm really excited to see where they take this second movie and go further into Sonic lore. I still just maintain the hope that we end up seeing Super Sonic, Metal Sonic, or both in this new movie.
I
mean, if
we
get Super Sonic, I guess that means we'll see the Chaos Emeralds, and that'll be, I mean, that's a nice set of MacGuffins for you to hunt down and compete with.
True.
I feel like because it seems like Sonic 2 is potentially going to take place more in Sonic's world than in the real world, seemingly, that we will see the Chaos Emeralds and Super Sonic introduced. I really hope so, because we saw a kind of a teaser of how cool that could look when at the end of the first Sonic movie, Sonic kind of has his moment and he's like electrified and he takes out Robotnik, and it's a really cool hero moment. But I want to see that hero moment for Super Sonic, right? So and of course, just as I said, I'm so excited to see what Jim Carrey does. I'm now of course thinking of the last we see of him in the first movie, where he's going reconnaissance and just laughing maniacally, and it's going to be so good. I'm so excited.
It really is.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's slow things down a bit and move on from Sonic to Animal Crossing, because there is a whole slew of announcements on the Animal Crossing New Horizons front. And that is that the next update is actually coming tomorrow, March 18th. It's going to add Sanrio-themed items and residents, as well as custom design enhancements. I'm going to pretend that I know what custom design enhancements means. I don't play Animal Crossing.
I saw people really excited about them, so I know it must be good.
I do know what this means.
Okay.
So they're increasing the number of slots you can store custom designs in. So you can design like your own shirts, your own floor mats, your own umbrellas, stuff like that. And they're upping the number of designs you can store within the game. Additionally, there is a custom design terminal within the Able Sister shop where you can go online and find other popular designs that people have made. They're now allowing you to integrate that into your Nook phone within the game, so you can do it from wherever without having to go to the Able Sister shop. Okay. So if you're into that part of the game, it's definitely a cool addition. I don't do a lot of custom designs, but I do like to browse what other people have, and it is nice not to have that tied to when the Able Sisters shop is open, because honestly, I don't play Animal Crossing much anymore during the hours that the shops are open. Just because I don't have the time to be playing in the middle of the day anymore, or the early evening for that matter. So normally by the time I have time to sit down and play a game, it's usually well past that. I think it's 9 p.m. cutoff for them. So, cool to have functionality available.
That's nice and all, but the one I saw people talking about the most, I believe, is the whoopee cushion item that's coming to the game.
Yeah, right. That headline.
Because I thought at first it was like a fart emote was in the added. It's like, no, it's just a whoopee cushion. Unless they actually did add a fart emote.
Yes, I wish so too. So yeah, the headline is a bit misleading. But yeah, farts are coming by way of whoopee cushions to Animal Crossing New Horizons. Not actual farts, which I think would be a lot funnier. But, right? That would be so much funnier. But you know, whoopee cushions are cool too. And hey, you know what? An Animal Crossing game with farts has to be better than an Animal Crossing game without them, right? No matter how those farts are delivered. So, yeah.
I don't know, man. I really, really wish there was a way to fart on people in Animal Crossing. I never knew I wanted that until I read that headline. And I was like, man, could you imagine visiting someone's island and you're having this wholesome moment, they're showing you stuff, and you just, your character lets one go?
That's probably why they didn't do it. But
yeah, probably not. Yeah, I would love that though. What was it? Oh yeah, just going back to Sonic for a second in the chat. Drew A said, "I want to know more about Eggman's egg sacks." Just wanted to put that out there. One of my favorite lines. In that.
You had to go anyway, back to that one.
I did. Because I happened to see that. And I scrolled by. I was like, no, I have to say that. So yeah, we got the next update. Sanrio stuff, custom design enhancements, farts are also coming by way of whoopee cushions. Also. And this might be controversial, maybe, but Bunny Day is also returning.
Oh, it's controversial. Yeah. Okay, nobody wants his bunny back.
Not liking. Okay, I thought I remembered people hating Bunny Day last year.
Bunny Day.
I'm glad I remember that.
Sucked. It was.
And it was the first event, which is sad.
You know, I'm hoping though that this is their chance to prove that they can update these events year to year, and that we see that they've kind of changed the flow, because they did during Bunny Day, like update the drop rates for the various stuff that. You could pick up during Bunny Day. So hopefully they realize that people didn't really like this event and kind of retooled it a bit. That's my hope, because they did build Animal Crossing in such a way that they can change how these events work year to year. So hopefully that's a thing. I don't know. But real quick, I do want to mention that the Sanrio characters are a tie-in for real-life Animal Crossing trading cards that have amiibo functionality.
I remember that.
So yes. I think Target in the US is the only place that has them. And the reason I know so much about this is because my wife is a huge Hello Kitty fan and a huge Animal Crossing fan, which means I have to find these fucking cards. If you're looking for them, Target's the place to go. But I don't think they'll have them when the update comes out. I think it's next week sometime.
Oh, okay. Well, I can totally relate. My wife and I both love not even just Hello Kitty, but Sanrio. I love the designs. I think they're adorable. And my favorite I hope is in Animal Crossing is Cinemarole, because I feel like nobody ever pays attention to Cinemarole.
I think Cinemarole is in the update. I was hoping for Gudetama to be in the update and just have his ass hanging out, but I'm not
overly familiar with the Sanrio characters, but if I saw their design, it's like, oh yeah, that one. that'd be my thing.
Yeah, Gudetama
is the lazy egg.
Lazy egg who, for some reason, they have to show his butt in like every illustration.
He's an egg. What do you expect him to do?
He sometimes uses his own body as a blanket. Like he's incredibly lazy. And can't even be bothered to get a different blanket. He just uses his own egg body to I don't know. It's weird. Heck? But again, even saying this is why I love Sanrio. The character designs are so wild and out there.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife and I actually went to, on our last trip to Japan, we went to the Sanrio like theme park. There's a whole theme park themed around Sanrio. And there's not a roller coaster, but kind of like a ride that goes through the whole area, like the whole, building essentially. And each character has their own section. And Cinemarole's obviously, you go to Cafe Cinnamon and it smells like cinnamon rolls, and it was amazing. It made me so hungry, but I was stuck on the ride and I couldn't have them. But yeah, cinnamon
rolls. That just reminds me of when my family would go to Chocolate World at Hershey Park, and they have a whole ride there where they show how the chocolate gets made and whatnot, and they waft in the smell of chocolate, and they give you a free piece of chocolate at the end. So of course, kids just want to ride it again and again to get that one free piece of chocolate at the very end. And just like, boy, that's effective at getting you to buy stuff or getting you to buy food after you ride rides like that. And I agree with Eddie Beals. We need a Gretzko stuff.
Yes.
Get a Gretzko in here.
Hold on.
Oh, boy. I still have only seen season one of Gretzko, though. I'm very far behind.
Oh, yeah. I have not seen any of it.
Y'all can't normally see what I keep on my shelves back there because my room is messy and I'll never show you my bed. But on the shelves.
Ah, nice.
Oh, yeah.
So the wife likes a Gretzko as well?
No, this is me.
Oh, okay.
I've heard of and seen this show around, but I've never watched it.
Oh, my God.
Sort of.
It is. Yeah, is it the best?
Office worker in the Sanrio universe. It's made by Sanrio. And she just completely pent up and she releases by going to karaoke and singing death metal.
Okay. Yes. That sounds kind of interesting.
Good.
It is really, really good. And one of the few like anime dubs where I would deeply prefer the English version.
It is interesting.
Just
okay.
Excellent. I can't really recommend it. There's four seasons and my wife and I had watched them previously before I met her. And then I made her watch them all again with me. And now she's like a dyed-in-the-wool Gretzko fan. It's
real quick, awesome. Adam Davis, yes, I did go and they had the singing cows. I am quite old, so yes, I've seen the singing cows. It's weird.
Nice. All right, well, I could talk about Sanrio characters forever, but let's go ahead and move on to our next news story, which is something I am potentially so personally hyped about. Oh, please, please. And that is that Square Enix has trademarked Theater Rhythm in Canada and Australia. We don't know what it means. We just know they've trademarked it. But what I hope it means is a port of Curtain Call to Switch, or maybe a port of All-Star Carnival, the arcade game, maybe an original Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy for Switch or consoles. I just love this series so much. And Kingdom Hearts, Melody Memory, great game, but it's not quite Theater Rhythm. And so I still really want that core Theater Rhythm game on consoles. And please let this be a sign that is
think
happening.
Think how much more music they could put in. There are so many more songs they have now between 14, 15, 7 Remake.
Oh, yep, 7 Remake. I just need this to be a thing. I'll be in trouble if they do a whole new like round of 100 DLC songs because I'm going to buy every single one yet again. And I will. I already know I will. So, yeah, I just really hope this is a thing.
Real quick, one, we all know it's going to be a cell phone game. Sorry, I don't make the rules. Two, have a great night. Hey, it's Dingo. Glad you could join us for a little bit.
Oh, yes.
Feel free to catch us later on the VOD version or just click your Patreon link. You can check it out and check out the rest of the show whenever you have the time.
Exactly. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in future episodes as well, we hope.
Yeah, or maybe tomorrow.
Speaking of Square Enix, I completely forgot that was happening tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Right. What about that timing? Now I'm kind of off the cell phone game train.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Well, I don't want to get too excited though, because I think they've already said that this is mainly going to be focused on their Western division.
They mostly said Western stuff, but there's and more. So,
oh please,
I don't know. You think they'd leave, like say new Final Fantasy announcement if they were trying to?
That's kind of what I don't expect anything tomorrow on the Theater Rhythm front. But if they did announce a Theater Rhythm game for consoles, I will explode on camera. Literally just explode. It's just going to happen. So we'll see. But Goron Amber said they could throw Bravely Default music into it. Yes, there's so much they can do. And those of us who played Curtain Call know that some of the DLC they did, they ventured outside Final Fantasy. We got some Chrono Trigger songs. We got even a Xenogears song, I think. So they could do Bravely. They could do Bravely Default 2, Bravely Second. Octopath Traveler?
Yeah.
I really want this.
Ash will explode.
Just the thought of it gets me so hype. So I'm gonna try not to get too too out of hand. In
terms I'm hopeful because it would be really cool. I didn't get to play a ton of Theater Rhythm, but what I did play was a lot of fun.
Oh, so good. Ship Damage Mike says Nier music. Yeah, throw in Nier Replicant Nier Automata. Oh,
I'm just imagining a chibi version of that Theater Rhythm design style of 2B.
You're right. Oh, man. Okay, I have to get my hype levels a little down here. Don't want to get too hopeful, but...
We have just the thing to depress you, Ash.
Exactly. So this is a great way to lower our hype levels because our next story really sucks, unfortunately. And you may have heard that Activision Blizzard has laid off what we at first thought was around 50 employees from their esports and live event division as they try to move toward a future where they are less dependent on live events. However, Jason Schreier kind of blew this story wide open after that and said the number of people laid off appears to be closer to like 200, maybe just under 200 people. And the whole company was affected, not just the esports division. But this is the best/worst part. Terminated employees received a 90-day severance, a year of health benefits, and wait for it, a $200 Blizzard gift card. That is...
See, that's the thing that gets me, because... If you look at the first two, that's not a bad severance package.
No.
But the gift cards, it's like we still want to be an asshole, so we're just going to, here you go.
Like, that is the biggest fuck you.
And here's the other crazy thing. Eddie Bielsen, I wanted to bring this up as well, because I couldn't find it. Good old Bobby Kotick himself, despite these people losing their jobs, getting a $200 million executive payout, despite all this.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, you want to know disgusting. What the amazing thing is? How many folks were laid off? Let's just raw numbers here.
Down 200.
Around 200.
It seems around 200, yeah.
Okay, let's just say. I mean, hold on. We don't even need to get weird about this.
Yeah, you don't even need to get that's 200, easy math.
If each one of those people made $1 million a year, he could just give up his bonus. And let's be real. It's nowhere close to that. It's nowhere even remotely fucking close to that. Even if these people were making, and this would be at the high end, $100,000 a year, he would still have, let's see. I mean, $100,000 a year.
Oh, he just, Kotick is just.
He'd have $198 million fucking dollars left.
Yeah.
God, that's just so depressing when you put it in those terms. It's already depressing, but it's even worse.
I mean, whenever you think about the sheer amount of money billionaires make and even the high-end millionaires, it's just like, screw you. You don't need that much. You don't.
No.
It's like, it just feels like it goes to waste at that point. They're so freaking greedy.
No one needs that much money.
I think about this, like, if I had $200 million, I would never have to do anything again for the rest of my life. I could just be a vagrant. But two, I could pay someone reasonably strong to, like, punch Bobby Kotick in the liver once a day every
reasonably strong
for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And still live comfortably. I'm just saying, give me $200 million. I'll make Bobby Kotick suffer.
I could make $200 million, get the house paid off, you know, get everything all, you know, Kai is set for life, family's all set, I could just do whatever, and still have plenty of money left over. I only really need $1 million to do stuff I'm thinking of. Just like $1 million would do that, and this dude has 200. Oh, so
that's his
bonus. Yeah, he's not Kotick, he's a Kodick.
I love that, Bobby Kotick. That's great. Yes. I can't believe I've never thought of that before. Nice one, Derek. I love that.
Ugh.
It is so disgusting that the greed is just unimaginably out of control here with Bobby.
Oh, Kotick. Capitalism is a disease at this point.
Capitalism
in
general. Yeah, it's out of control. And just, you know, think how much even $1 million, how much difference that would make, not only in any of our individual lives, but probably a lot of the people in our chat. You know, like how most people it would make such a huge difference for them just to have $1 million. Yeah. And this asshole gets $200 million on top of laying off around 200 people who weren't even making that much anyway.
And as Megan Conrad said, I was going to bring this up later anyway, because it's always the most prescient thing that remember that Iwata took a pay cut when the Wii U was floundering and to just ensure they didn't lose any employees because that is their lifeblood. Hey, screw you guys. You can leave and still make all this money. They don't care.
I can't help but think about just what kind of person, you know, I've been taught that when you have to let people go as a leadership person, like a person in a leadership role within a company, letting people go is a failure, right? Unless you, when you're letting someone go because you can't keep the lights on, if you don't let them go, you have fucked up. You have failed as the most important person in a company, right? There should be some very serious consequences for the person that ran the ship so poorly that they had to fire 200 people.
Yeah.
Your whole job is keeping this company making money. How do you get a bonus after that? Like, I, in most jobs I've ever had, wouldn't get a bonus if I fucked up that bad. Like, no one would be like, hey, Steve, we had to let 200 people go because of what you did. Have a couple million dollars, buddy. Good year. Like, no, that doesn't happen in any other role.
Because the way it really goes these times, it's just, it's all about keeping the investors happy.
Yeah. That's it. I actually, this is funny that I'm thinking about this now, but I actually, unfortunately, several years ago, I guess now, was in a position of having to let a lot of people go because the... it was a producing gig, and I was essentially told from the top down by, you know, the owners, bosses of the company, yeah, the money's gone, it's been mismanaged, but we're not going to lay people off, you get to do that. So I got to do all the emotional labor, even though I didn't, you know, I'm not the one that messed things up, essentially. And let me tell you, man, letting people go is just one of the most horrifically awful things. And I just, I did everything I could. I went over there, all their resumes. I tried to make it as soft a landing as possible. It's just, it's, and to think that this is happening at Activision on top of Bobby Kotick making all this money, it's just, it's disgusting. Adam Davis says, guys, stop being so mean to CEOs. What you're saying hurts real people who own multiple boats, right? Yeah. It's, I don't even know what to say about this other than I hope everybody affected lands on their feet, you know, and lands as softly as possible and is able to find work ASAP. And I am glad at least that they're getting some severance and a year of health benefits. That is, I will say,
that is nice. That is nice. Really nice. It's just that gift card is just like a kick in the face.
That gift card is wild. I can't believe anybody thought that was a good idea. Like, that is just the biggest middle finger. I can't.
Like, what would you want from the company that laid you off?
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I would go eBay that crap. I'd be like, somebody give me 198 real dollars for this.
Yeah.
200 worthless corporate dollar gift card.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, unfortunately, the next news story isn't any happier. There's a nice silver lining to it, but it's still not great. Bandai Namco has now been the first game developer to step up and release a statement on the proliferation of anti-Asian hate that's happening in the wake of COVID. And, I'm very happy they've made a statement. More people need to. And I'll go ahead and just read their statement here once it loads. Bandai Namco Entertainment America remains committed to the ideals of inclusion, diversity, and fairness, while condemning all acts of violence, bullying, discrimination, and xenophobia. We stand in solidarity with the Asian American and Pacific Islander community, our culturally diverse and inclusive team of employees, players, and fans from all cultures and backgrounds, our families, and especially our elders, to speak out and raise awareness against the terrible rise in anti-Asian aggression and hate crimes. Hashtag stop Asian hate. And that says everything. The fact that this even needs to be said just fills me with a rage that I can't even describe. And of course, we all, you know what happened today, the hate crime that happened today, and it's just
the way they're already said.
Let's
white power already doing its damnedest to soften the blow for this guy.
Of course.
Yeah, let's just call it what it is. Like, he was not out gunning down Asian women because he was a fucking pervert that couldn't handle being horny. Like, no one ever goes, oh man, I've got a boner, I'm going to go just shoot Asian
people. Or just what they're saying is like, he had a bad day.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'm sure.
I had a bad day too. I'm not going out and shooting people. Come on. Like, I hate this. And all I can say is, you know, it's incumbent upon all of us to do everything we can to stem the tide of this anti-Asian hate. You know, support your local businesses, especially support your local Asian businesses. Do anything you can.
Get some damn good ramen. Get some good Chinese exactly. food. There's a lot of good food out there. Eat it.
You know what?
Yeah.
I will tell you this. If you live in an area and you're lucky enough to be in an ethnically diverse area, go shop at an Asian market.
Yeah.
There are many of them. Even in Phoenix, which I will tell you is one of the least culturally diverse places I've ever lived, I can still find Asian markets around, and they're usually family run and could definitely use your support in the best of times, let alone these times. So if you know of one, you know, go in there, vote with your wallet, help people out, be kind.
Mm.
But
yeah. And as mentioned, it wasn't just Bandai Namco. Xbox released a statement as well.
Oh, did they now? So I didn't realize.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah, and
I mean, there's a few.
Sony, Bamco, Xbox, you know, even Phil Spencer personally made a statement. Although I do have to say, I feel like it rings a bit more hollow coming from one of the most bigoted online communities in gaming, that being Xbox Live.
Is the stereotype that was Xbox Live in its early days still around? I don't even know. I think it might have just spread to just everything.
It is.
To my understanding, it is. Yeah.
I didn't realize. You know, I kind of thought, because the rhetoric around Xbox Live and its toxicity has quieted over the years, that it must be better. And when I went to visit my friend in Colorado, who he is primarily an Xbox gamer, we hopped on Xbox Live and he played some Rocket League. And God damn, it is still terrible. Like, it is really fucking bad out there, folks.
This is why I enjoyed being on Sony and not having a headset. This is this is
yeah,
much
you know,
better.
I've joked about it for years, but maybe Nintendo, with their backwards approach to online, is onto something here, because if people can't message, you can't get shit like that in your inbox. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It sucks that the world is the way it is, but today's attacks were disgusting. They sickened me to see them. I didn't realize what had happened until later in the day today. And just fuck.
And for those in the chat who were
being a thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I'm so exhausted by the constant racism we see in America. And that's coming from a position of privilege. I feel just incredibly disheartened for the people this affects day to day. You shouldn't have to be at work and be afraid you're going to catch a bullet from some crazed neckbeard that has decided your life is over today. It's
right.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. And for those in the chat who are wondering, who had not heard about this, there was a shooting in Atlanta today that killed 8 people, 6 of whom were of Asian descent. They are Asian women. And it happened at a place called Young's Asian Massage. So, you know, it doesn't take much to put everything together. And it's just... I just hate this.
It's stupid, because already people are going, well, he went to church. They immediately try to paint these like nice guy. Well, he just had a bad day. He went to church. It was all this. It's like, I'm so sick of the excuses.
Well, people are
every time.
People are discrediting that even now. I had read just before we went live that it's being reported on Korean television that people heard him saying, I'm going to kill all Asians, or something to the effect, during the attack. So, you know, all these fucking shitheads who are coming out and saying, oh, you know, it wasn't racially motivated. Shut up. Stop.
I mean, that's how that it's, and it's been going on for so long. I remember, you know, Columbine. They always like, oh, they were just they singular individuals. They were, you know, disturbed by video games. It was the violent video games that did all this. And no, when you look back at it and really look into what they were doing, they were white supremacists. They were doing what they've been doing. It's still happening. It's just like, and every time it's just making excuses. So,
yeah.
And there's one thing we could do that really helps stem this problem. But this country doesn't want to do it.
Right. Dan and Twistle says the cop who did that press conference, who said he quote unquote had a bad day, also shared racist memes on Facebook. And the least surprising.
What a shock. What a shock.
A racist cop.
Surprise.
I'm blown away. Good sir.
Yeah. Right. Who's that? Who'd have thought? Yeah. But of course, you know, we all of us, our hearts go out to everybody affected, and to, you know, everyone of Asian descent in our audience, our stand in solidarity with you. Our hearts go out to you, and genuinely, this is just awful. And my wife and I will certainly, we live in K-Town, we're going to continue to, you know, to patronize our local businesses and Korean supermarkets, and just do everything you can, everybody. It's just, it's not, obviously not okay. It's just so much hate, and Yeah, but I know I'm going to start crying if I keep talking about this. So, so let's go ahead and move on to something we are pretty excited about. And there is a new Tetsuya Nomura interview that has revealed a ton of new details about basically everything. FF7 Intergrade, or FF7 Remake Intergrade, as well as Ever Crisis and FF7 The First Soldier. So Nibel, Nibelian on Twitter, of course, has covered the whole thing. And I'm just going to go through some bullet points here. Speaking about the Yuffie episode, there's going to be new summons and materia in it. Only Yuffie is playable, but you can fight together with Sonon during combat by pressing L2, as seen in the trailer. And there is no further DLC planned for now. The focus is on Part 2 after Intergrade. So that's good to know. It's good to know that after Intergrade, they are just going straight whole hog on Part 2, and we don't have to worry about more, you know, intermittent releases between the two.
Yeah. And then it was also, they clarified that they originally only planned to make a PS5 version of 7R instead of DLC, but Intergrade actually helped them prepare for the development on PS5 because, of course, all the future releases are going to be on PS5. It just makes sense.
I would,
And they're considering future DLC. It would be kind of cool, like, if we started getting characters we haven't quite reached yet as DLC, like, here's what they were doing during this. So I don't know if we'll get to it, but here's what Vincent was up to. Here's what Sid was up to type thing. Or weird stuff with, like, Cait Sith. Like, we saw him at that one point, completely out of context. What was Cait Sith up to?
Yeah.
It's still wild to me that it's actually pronounced Ketchi. I can't do it.
I can't do it. I know it's pronounced Ketchi. I refuse to do it. I can't.
I can't. Yeah.
It's the result of growing up reading all this stuff.
Like, yeah.
I'm with you. I say Cait Sith too. I can't imagine it a different way. And I, like you guys, I heard years ago that it's pronounced differently. And I was like, no, I refuse to accept that.
I shifted my pronunciation of Tidus. I did it, but I can't do it for Cait Sith.
Same. There are a bunch of names I can do it for. Like, as a kid, when I was like eight or nine or something, for some reason I thought Guile's name was Gilly. I learned very quickly that it wasn't, as a kid. So I immediately shifted my pronunciation there and other, stuff over the years. But like Ketchi, I can't do it. I can't do it. That's one that just doesn't make any sense.
I forget. Do they call him Ketchi in Dirge of Cerberus? Since he's a major character?
I don't remember,
to be
honest.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I blocked the vast majority of that game from my memory because it was so bad. So I don't remember. Because I did play it and finish it, and unfortunately,
yeah, I have to.
It was just really bad. But yeah, I don't remember exactly if they did. Moving on to The First Soldier, which is that Battle Royale, that Final Fantasy VII Battle Royale game on mobile. They're saying it's an attempt to reach other audiences who are not close to the FF brand. It seems to have a job system with different abilities, and Nomura wants this to be a solid experience with amazing visuals for smartphones. Cool. I mean, that's all pretty safe stuff to, say about this game. That makes sense if they're trying to reach a broader audience. Job system is pretty part and parcel with FF in general, so that's not too surprising. And of course, they want it to look good for smartphones, which of course they do. And to be fair, from what we've seen, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Visually, it looks nice. I don't know how batteries are going to last, but
I think I saw, I forget where it was, but I saw something related to this. I think it takes place like 20 or 40 years before FF7.
Yes, 30 years, I believe, before FF7 is what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and not only that, but moving on to Ever Crisis, there's some new information about Ever Crisis as well. It is going to tackle the story of First Soldier as well. The original FF7 story is about 10 chapters long in Ever Crisis. It will contain content that is not in their original games, which is pretty neat. But here's the thing. Chapters will be free. Great news. But there will be a gacha system for weapons. It's not so great news.
Fuck it. Give it to me. I don't care.
Yeah, what?
I'm still playing the shit out of it.
I'm kind of okay with this.
Yeah.
It depends how generous they are.
I mean, at least the most important content, which is the actual game, like the story and the chapters.
And
is
hopefully it's not one of those things where you like, God, I need a 5-star weapon if I'm going to make it past this boss. That's the big
worry. That's true. It is, because Square Enix doesn't exactly have a stellar track record with mobile games on that front, with games like All the Bravest and Record Keeper. And there's another one, Brave Exvius. I dabbled in a couple of them, and the grind was real in terms of you know, the difficulty wall you get put up against fairly early on, unless you're willing to spend money, essentially, or at least try to get better weapons.
Yeah. With this sort of thing, I like makes me think, like, how are they really attract people to buy, to get, like, to want to get all the weapons, do the gacha for all the weapons, have these special events that kind of happen for some of these games. Like, it's kind of odd to me. It's like, could we have cloud wielding iconic weapons from across the series? Give him a gunblade and stuff like that, as special things.
Right.
Like, that'd be kind of funny, but I don't know. It's, on one hand, I don't mind it. On the other hand, on the third hand, boy, I still want this on Switch.
Oh, yeah. Right. I am seeing some comments on Twitter saying that this wasn't reported, but apparently the gacha might have something in common with the gacha in Opera Omnia, which is another Square Enix Final Fantasy mobile game. Some people are saying they heard it, handled it pretty well, so that might be a good thing.
I think it got a little better.
Okay, yeah. So this of course is all, you know, that part isn't confirmed or anything, but hopefully if it is modeled after Opera Omnia, that and that game does have a good enough gacha system or a generous enough one that it'll be modeled after that. Who knows? All I do know is that I'm still incredibly excited for Ever Crisis and will play it regardless.
I love Shiny Turkey in the chat says, you can get the Buster Sword in a swimsuit for only $69.
Oh, man.
Which, yes. If they pulled the typical gacha bullshit other games pull and just like give you variants of the Buster Sword dressed up in weird ways, I would definitely be there for it. Like, give me ridiculous, like, ludicrous weapons, like cloud wielding a gigantic corn cob or something.
Right. See, I would have expected it to be more like having like equipment, not just be the weapons, but like equipment. So like, you can get this outfit for Tifa and Aerith, or this one.
Oh man, that'll definitely happen.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know why
oh,
we
absolutely.
Didn't come up with that immediately. That's happening for sure, especially
oh, yeah.
Tifa. Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be kind of cool because I've seen a lot of artwork to this effect on Twitter of Tifa and Aerith swapping clothes.
Oh, that would be cool.
I thought that'd be kind of fun.
Oh, okay, yeah. I want to see a Slim Jim crossover that turns Cloud's Buster Sword into just a giant Slim Jim, right? Like,
what?
Just make a really, like the cup noodle stuff in FF15, just these really
oh,
weird
yeah.
crossovers.
Oh, here you go, Dark Gumi, Cloud honing a huge popsicle for a summer event.
That would be
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, there was a whole
Let him wield the snowboard from the later in the game for
oh,
a
that's
winter
so
event.
Good.
I love that.
That's a great idea.
Dan and Twistle, cloud wielding a smaller cloud wielding a normal size Buster Sword.
So good. Oh man, a little darker. Rob Arman X says Cloud using Aerith as a sword. It's pretty
Aww.
Dark. Pretty, yeah. Oh, Andy Day says, yeah, if you want money, sell Tifa and Aerith outfits. Just ask Dead or Alive. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
I don't have good feelings about how this is going to go gacha wise. I just hope that the rest of the game is accessible to a good degree without it. Right. So
yeah.
Hopefully it's all cosmetic stuff and it doesn't actually encumber progression, but given Square's history in this space, I'm a little worried. I got to say.
Yeah. I think they've gotten better and I'm still interested in the game, but I just, again, just wish it wasn't mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, if I can put this on my Apple TV and then pair a controller,
ooh,
I'm good. I'm
I think
really
you probably
good with
can.
That.
I think you probably can.
Yeah,
that probably would work. Yeah,
that's,
that would be that would
the
be
the dream
way to play
right
it.
There.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, otherwise, still super excited about Intergrade, of course, and it's nice to have a little more news coming out about it in advance of its June release date. That said, we have a little more Square Enix news to talk about, and I know this is something that Derek and I are very happy about, but Dark Horse, the publishing company, has revealed that they are going to be localizing the Kingdom Hearts character files source slash art book, I guess. It's an oversized hardcover book that will be released in English for the first time. It was released in Japan in February 2020, and it's going to be coming out here on October 19th for $39.99. And the official description of the book is: explore the Disney-filled world of Kingdom Hearts with this in-depth look into the beloved characters from the most popular games in the series. In addition to highlighting each character's evolving appearance and unique costumes, this tome illuminates the entire cast's backstories and retells their adventures from across the beloved series. From iconic heroes like Sora, Donald Duck, Goofy, and King Mickey, to famous villains like Ansem, Maleficent, Hades, and Scar, this volume offers unprecedented insights into the lore behind the games. 223 pages. Dark Horse has also released a sneak peek of the cover art, which is essentially just Kingdom Hearts 3's title screen with Sora eating the Palpu fruit. In my veins. Money, I'll throw all my money. You can have it.
I haven't gotten an art book in a while, but this one's tempting.
Yeah. Oh, it's not tempting. It's bought for me. I'm not even tempted by this. I am going to own this thing. And my only regret is that I can't work on it myself. You know, I've worked on so many video game art books with Udon over the years. Mm-hmm. But this is a Dark Horse book, and I wish
you got to get in with Dark Horse.
I know, right? I would love to get in with them and be able to work on this book, because what a treat that would be. But either way, even if I'm not working on it, I am going to own this thing and read every single letter on every single page. But I know that the one of us who's the most excited about this is Steve, right, man?
Obviously.
Hearts
and Heartlesses. Yeah. And yeah.
I think I heard about a horse being in there somewhere. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Probably. I don't know. I was like, you know what? This is probably a safe place for me to read up on our next story.
Nice. But yeah, this seems to be a very in-depth lore book. So it's not just an art book, but it's like really going to go into the lore of the games, which of course is something that hardcore Kingdom Hearts fan, that's
be cool
all
if they did that a lot for the mobile game.
That would be nice. I really hope they do that.
Again, all we have to do, Ash, is find a good summation on YouTube after the whole thing ends. But
right, and which I do plan to do once the actual end does come. And I would like to. I know they're going to make the story of Union Cross available though as a theater mode type presentation.
Oh right.
So that'll nice. Be. I'd like to watch the official thing. You know, that'll be nice.
Yeah, that'll be long.
So, yeah, Kingdom Hearts art book. I'm super excited, but let's go ahead and move on from something Steve has no care about in the world to something I know he's super interested in.
Oh, what are you talking about? He doesn't care about this.
right. This is so weird and random. This comes from Nintendo Life. Okay, I'm just going to say it. A 24-year-old Samurai Showdown prototype has been found under a tree in California. What?
Apparently, Samurai Showdown 64 prototype.
Yeah, Sam Show 64, and it's it was found underneath a collapsed tree in California.
According to this, it says the find was made by pinball machine repair specialist Craig Weiss, or maybe Vice, after he had visited a client to repair a pinball table. Weiss asked about where the machine had originated, and was pointing in the direction of a woman whose husband had owned his own repair business in the 90s. Upon paying the woman the visit, Weiss came upon six pallets of unknown parts underneath a collapsed tree on her property. Auction lots purchased from a former SNK staffer in China, which contained warehouse materials SNK had shipped back following the closure of its North American offices around the turn of the new millennium. The woman stated that she was thinking about having the pallets removed and junked, and said Weiss was welcome to sift through anything worth salvaging. And that's when he made the discovery. Inside one of the pallets, Weiss unearthed Hyper Neo Geo 64 Samurai Showdown 64 prototype, a pre-production version of the 97 arcade title.
This is wild.
Yeah, and then he started getting in touch with people for documenting unknown prototypes and getting it all there. It's just crazy.
That's so cool. I mean, I love stuff like this when forgotten parts of gaming history are found at the most random places. But Steve, man, I gotta hear your thoughts on this, because I know, you know, you're a big SNK fan, Sam Show fan. How are you feeling about this?
This is wild. I mean, how do you I have questions that the article just doesn't answer. Like, I mean, I get that they had this six pallets of stuff, but why under a tree?
Right? I know, right?
That for me is the biggest question, because I could understand more if it was like somebody was, you know, preparing to dig out for like a new building or something and found that somebody had stashed this stuff. But he went to the owner's house and they're like, oh, yeah, we got a bunch of video game stuff under the tree outside. It's
right.
What?
Just so random.
I mean, I get that, you know, because we see it all too often, people having something and not knowing the value of it, and people like that are in the know obtaining it and turning it into something, or it becoming a story from there. But what I don't get is you bought this in 21 years ago, essentially, and it somehow migrated outside or maybe never came inside. I'm not sure, but I still just wonder, like, at what point did someone say the place that this stuff is going to rest is under a tree on my property, and someday right. I will come back for it? Maybe, like, it just seems so weird. I really want to know how it ended up there.
You hear so many stories like this for these old things, like, oh, I was up in the attic and I just never bother with it. But hey, you're interested in this, so why don't you check it out? And find some amazing thing.
Really want to know how people end up finding these folks that are sacked or whatever from game companies and are just holding on to these expensive relics and are like, yeah, I'll sell it to you for $100, I guess. I hate my life. You take it. Like, I want to know those people. I desperately want to know those people. Mm-hmm. If anybody worked for Nintendo in the 80s and is sitting on a box full of stuff, I don't care what it is, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Right?
I'll take your old coffee cup. I'll take a notepad. I don't care.
Yes. Vedran Hotik in the chat says Maximilian must be losing it. I bet he is, and I so badly want to get him on TNT for like a big fighting game news thing happens. Like, when Street Fighter VI is finally properly revealed, we have to have him on to talk about it. Yep. We have to.
I never played Sam Show 64 just because I mean what did it come out on anything?
According to this, it spawned a PlayStation spinoff title by the name of Samurai Showdown Warrior's Rage.
Yep.
Apparently it didn't light the world on fire, though, the game in general.
Yeah, I remember it being received kind of poorly. I never saw it in an arcade because it was kind of at the time where arcades were becoming a thing of the past and brand new hardware was difficult to find in the few remaining arcades in my area. I was always a few years late to the party on PlayStations until the PlayStation 3 came out. Like, I got the PlayStation 1 a few years after it released. Same for the PS2. PS3 was the first one where I had, or no, I'm sorry, I was late to the PS3 as well. I waited for Metal Gear Solid 4 because I was the game I'm picking it up for. And then, you know, PS4 was the first one where I was like, okay, I have to get this day one.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess Samurai Showdown 64 just kind of passed me by, and the PlayStation Warriors Rage passed me by as well. But, I mean, regardless of what game it is, I always find stories like these deeply interesting because it's just weird.
Same.
You know, we've talked about how preservation in this industry is such a afterthought, and it goes to show when you find the game rotting under a tree at someone's house. So,
yeah.
It's like, so, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't seem as though you missed too much, Steve. I'm watching some footage of the game right now, of the beta, and it looks pretty janky. I mean, it doesn't seem as though you missed too much by not playing this game, but it is, just in a preservation sense, in a historical sense, so cool to see this.
Yeah.
Very neat. And for anyone who wants to check it out themselves, I will post the Nintendo Life article in the chat. So if you want to check that out, there is a video of the beta right there for you. With that said, we do have one more new story to talk about, and it's an update on PlayStation's Play at Home program, and this is fantastic. PlayStation owners are about to get a lot of cool free stuff as starting on March 25th, you're getting a lot of new free games added to the Play at Home program. So you're getting Abzu, Enter the Gungeon, Res Infinite Baby, Subnautica, The Witness, Astrobot Rescue Mission, Moss, Thumper, and Paper Beast. All of these games are going to be available for free starting on March 25th at 8 p.m. Pacific, which is only a week from today. And that's a lot of free content and a lot of great games, too. They're not just throwing games that nobody wants. These are really big games. And on top of that, on April 19th, you're going to be able to get Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition starting on April 19th at 8 p.m. Pacific, between that time and May 14th at 8 p.m. Pacific. So as long as you get on the PlayStation Store and download it anytime within that month or so, you get Horizon for free, man. That's great.
Yep.
And remember that Ratchet & Clank on PS4 is still available for free right now.
It is. So don't miss that. You definitely want to go grab that if you haven't already. If you don't own the game, don't miss your chance to get Ratchet & Clank for free. because that's what's available right now. And that it looks like that's available until March 31st.
So you yeah, have another 2 weeks. So still, yeah. still time. What's yeah, interesting to me about this lineup is I think there's like three VR games in here.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say Astrobot Rescue Mission. I've played a little bit of it in PSVR. I don't own it. I will now, but I didn't yeah, own it. Go. And it is phenomenal. It is incredibly good.
I want to play it so much.
Oh, man. It is. I want a Mario game that does this. It's got a fixed camera, right? Mm-hmm. But in VR, like, your head is essentially the camera. Like, so it's always behind Astro, but you can put down your controller, get up and look around and see what obstacles are coming around the corners and stuff like that. And they lean into that. Like, Astro knows that you're there and interacts That's with so you, cool. the player. So it's such a damn cool gimmick. And I wish we could get a Mario game like that. But Astro, yeah, knocks it out of the park. That is the biggest one on this list for me because I own
I'm
Horizon.
I'm so right. And
yeah, I own it too.
But...
And as Rob Armanx points out in the chat, you can find the complete edition of Horizon Zero Dawn for $10 in most places. It's not a very expensive game if you want to play it, but, you know, it's free.
But that's an extra, you know, that's an extra $10 I can spend on some takeout ramen, man. That's worth it.
Takeout ramen, so, a GVG shirt when those come into existence.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I have to say, though, like, Sony really is so good at this play-at-home stuff. The amount of content you're getting for free here really is staggering. And a lot of these games are great. I'm so desperate to play Astrobot because I adored Astro's Playroom. So that was kind of my entry into the series. I'd always heard, of course, that Rescue Mission was great, but I don't have a PlayStation VR. But after Same. Playing Astro's Playroom, I am desperate to play VR Mission or to
find
play
a used
Rescue
copy
Mission.
Or something like that.
Yeah, but I need to get a PSVR. That's the problem. I don't
right.
have one. So it's yeah.
At this point,
as far
it's worth
as...
waiting. For the PSVR 2, I think.
Yeah, just pick Probably. Up the games now yeah. and then maybe get them later. Of the games listed here, though, the two I'm most interested in are Res Infinite and The Witness. I heard a lot of good things about The Witness.
Same.
I've heard, yeah, I have as well. And yeah, Res Infinite. Derek, if you have you played Res before?
Only a little bit as far as in an old demo.
Oh, okay, you are in for a treat, man. Mm. And I don't know if you've played it, Steve, but on our TVs, it looks amazing. I've played quite a bit of Res on my new CX, and oh my god.
I have not yet played Res Infinite, but I will. Again, it'll be a game man. I own after these go live.
Yeah,
real quick, I want to point out, because someone in the chat mentioned they need to get a PlayStation first. If you create a PlayStation account, you can go in a web browser to store.playstation.com and buy all these games and have them in your library for when you do get a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. You know, if it's that compelling that you want to get a PlayStation,
get
for these
free
games, you can get the free games and then the PlayStation.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like Mario, where you don't have a Switch and you're like, oh crap, I haven't bought the 3D All-Stars yet, and I need to get that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've also not played The Witness. I've heard really good things about it, and neither have I played Subnautica or Enter the Gungeon, both of which I've heard good things about as
Gungeon
well.
Is
so
good.
There's definitely
I like that.
Okay. I've heard great things. So yeah, there's it seems like there's something for kind of everyone here. And for those of you who have not heard of Abzu, please play this game. I covered it back on Game Explain. I think I did a Game & Watch of it. It's essentially Journey, but an underwater version of it. And it's
nice.
Beautiful. It is an
I
absolutely
I think it's
spun
by
game.
The same people as well, or at least
yeah,
one of
same,
them.
I believe it's some of the same people, yeah. And it's essentially an underwater journey. And you don't want to miss this game, especially if you like aquatic environments. And of course, I have to say it, for anyone listening who has not played Res Infinite, play this game. The fact that it's going to be free, it's one of my favorite games of all time. It's essentially a rhythm shooter that just focuses on synesthesia visuals. It's like just explosions of color and amazing electronic music. Don't miss this game. Trust me, just play it. And that's my spiel. I just want to make sure people know how good Res Infinite is. But with that said, that brings us to the end of our news for today. There was a lot to talk about, you guys.
Yeah, there was. Like, we could have easily gone a lot longer if we wanted to and really dive into these, but there's some good stuff. Like, there's some crap going on, but there's some good stuff coming.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a really good year, I think.
I think so as well.
I guess we should know by now. It's March. It feels like it's January sometimes.
True.
Yeah, it really does. Like, what is time?
When
is the... God, when is the Square Enix Presents?
To 10 a.m.
Pacific. 10 a.m. Pacific. Okay, so 1 o'clock my time. Okay.
Yeah, so that is a good call, Derek. Let's just remind everybody, of course, in our live audience and those watching the VOD version, that we are going to be live reacting to the Square Enix Presents tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific, or I should say today if you're listening to the VOD version at 10 a.m. Pacific. But that'll be a lot of fun. We're super looking forward to reacting to whatever they have to show, which is hopefully, please be a new theater rhythm game, please. But yeah, so we'll definitely see you guys for that. But with that, we are at the end of our episode for today. So as always, before we sign off, we do have to give a special thanks to all of our patrons at the producer tier for helping to make this show happen, because without you, it would not be happening. So thank you a million times over for your support. But in addition, as always, we have to give a particularly massive thank you to our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those awesome people include Jared Edinger, Brandon Bovia, Rob Arman X, Dan and Twistle, Z Patty, Hyrule Hermit, Sky Blue Flames, Adam O'Sullivan, Richard Herrera, Michael Phone, Floating Mew, Aiko Carroll, Christopher, The D-Pad, Vesmio, Waffle King, Nick Waterman, Jesse M, aka Kitty Kong Fax, Angel Martinez, Vedran Hotik, Makalau, John, Joshua Hunter, Evernight Studio, Benny Yao, Shadow the Cat, Alessia, Azran127, Kinrule09, Jake Pelka, Geller, Shiny Turkey, Joseph Rutkin, Titus Malvolio, Charlie Bird, Lucky Wonderfish, TopDog23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Charles Zaz, Douglas Chomix, Andrew Medeiros, Aurum, Phantom23, Scott Barber, Patrick Harrison, Becca, Rox the Cat, Fizzywig Hoyd, Loyal Dingo, Flaming Highwayman, Sean Garrett, The Legend of Bruce, Eddie B, Kai Ed, Kit Fisto 250, I'm sorry, just Kit Fisto, West Egg, Master Lynx, Sean Davis, Deaneth, Jackson Jordan, Michael McCaw, Matthew Wong, Ashish Joshi, Goron Amber, Straight Lace, Hoobie, Wolf X Blake and Moon Macarons, Kane, Captain Finlandia, 60 Minutes and 60 Seconds, The Game Orb, Dano the Artist, Synchro Lord, Brainchild, Rosa Pardo Bowling.
Hi, Mom. Sorry, Mom. I love you, Mom.
Dark Umi 87, The Flying Tacos, Scuff 196, Skull Kid Tiger, AGB Cool, Chip Damage Mike, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Phantom Project, and Wheezy Penguin. Now remember, you too can become a patron over at patreon.com/gvgaming, where you can check out all the different tiers you can support us at, including our live audience tier, for $5 a month. But, of course, regardless of whether you support us on Patreon or you just drop a like and subscribe here, we love you all. We appreciate your support so much, and we love you. So thank you so much for all your support. And we'll see you next time for today's news tonight on Friday. So until next time, good night and good vibes, everybody. And Slán.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Bye, everybody.